Thanks for checking out our Legacy Church podcast. We know you'll be blessed and encouraged by today's message. Now here's this week's sermon.
I want you to turn to John chapter 10, and we'll begin reading a story about Jesus. How many love reading stories about Jesus? Amen? You know, I remember when I got my first Bible, all the words of Jesus were in red. And I would just skip over all the black, and I would go right to the red, because I wanted to know who this Jesus was. And I tell you, it changed my life. Jesus is everything. But in John 10, verse 22, the Bible says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.'" So here's Jesus at a festival called the Festival of Dedication, which we now know as Hanukkah. And it's an 8-day celebration that commemorates a rededication of the Jewish temple in the 2nd century B.C. And here's Jesus, the Bible says, walking in Solomon's colonnade. And so this was the east side of the temple, outside of the temple. And Solomon's colonnade was a walkway, a covered walkway, with these beautiful columns. And so Jesus is walking, and how many know, wherever Jesus shows up, people show up. If people are showing up in church, it's because Jesus is here. And so here he is, surrounded by Jews, and I would, you know, ascertain that some of these Jews probably were even priests. And they come to him and they say, "Why don't you tell us who you are? Why don't you tell us you're the Messiah? Why don't you tell us if you're the one to save us, here to free us, to deliver us, to change our lives? Why don't you tell us?" And Jesus answers pretty sternly, "I did tell you, but you don't listen, and you don't believe." You don't listen, and you don't believe. So today, I want to talk about listening for God's voice. Listening for God's voice. See, the Bible differentiates sheep and goats. And when you see goats, they're usually connected to Satan himself or the occult. Even today, when you see occultic practices, you tend to see pictures of goats. And Jesus says his people, he identifies them as sheep. And the reason is goats are obstinate. Goats are independent. And they're even destructive. But sheep are gentle. Sheep know their shepherd's voice, and they hear and they follow their shepherd. And that's Jesus is giving us a picture here. You know, it's interesting that if you go to any ranch that has sheep, and I saw a documentary about this, and you try to impersonate the shepherd, whatever the shepherd's sound is to call the sheep, and you try to impersonate it, the sheep will not listen to you, because they know the shepherd's voice. They know an imposter. And Jesus says that his sheep listen and they obey and they follow. And he paints a picture of who we are called to be, his followers, his sheep, submissive, able to hear his voice, identify his voice. You know, in World War II, the Marine Corps, how many Marines in here? Okay, I guess they're all in the early service. Oh, there's one. Natalie's a Marine, you know. Don't mess with Natalie. Come on. Her and Pastor Jared, Marines. Thank you. But in World War II, the Marine Corps used one of thousands of languages out there to create an unbreakable code. And what they did was they used the language of the Navajo Indians because no one understood their language. So the enemies could not interpret the code because the only people to know that language were the Navajo Indians. Even other Americans did not know the Navajo language. And it's the same with God, where when you become part of his family, when you become part of his tribe, his nation, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, his language is no longer foreign to you. His voice is no longer foreign to you. Because when you receive Christ in your heart and the Holy Spirit comes in you, your ears are open and attentive, and you're able now to discern the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus over all the other voices that are in the world. And your heart, your conscience, your spirit becomes sensitive now to a voice, a language that you never knew before Christ. You didn't even know it existed. But when you receive Christ now, you become attentive to another voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And listen, the Bible becomes your language. The Bible and its teachings, the voice of God, the word of the Lord, becomes your new way of life. And others can't understand. You know, when you accept Christ and all of a sudden you're awakened and you're starting to hear God's voice and the Holy Spirit's convicting you and speaking to you, unless you have the Holy Spirit and you're sheep of the shepherd, other people can't understand it. They'll even ask, what happened to you? Why are you thinking differently? Why are you trying to live differently? Why last week you were doing this, this, and that, and now this week you're kind of like trying to live a different way? What happened to you? You're hearing God's voice. You're hearing God's voice. You're starting to learn a new language. And you're his sheep. And only his sheep can hear his voice. And his sheep follow his voice. See, there's no way for any human being to navigate through this life with all its pain, all its sorrow, challenges, troubles, even sometimes great tragedy. There's no way you can live in this world with comfort, with peace, with hope, without the guidance of God's voice, without the guidance and the hand of a shepherd who's over you, trying to protect you like a shepherd watches his sheep. And just like Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice, that means that God still speaks today. God is still speaking. Matter of fact, the Bible says when we stand before the Lord, none of us will have an excuse. We won't be able to stand before God and say, well, I never knew. I never heard. You never told me. Because God still speaks. We see in the Old Testament that God spoke audibly. Man actually heard God audibly, starting with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we see in the New Testament that man heard God audibly on a few different occasions. One was when Jesus himself was baptized in water. Those that were with him heard God's audible voice say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. We also know that in the transfiguration, when Jesus went on the mountain, which is called the mountain of transfiguration, and the Bible says the glory of God shone through him. Like he literally became light magnified. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. And isn't it interesting when you study about life after death, Everyone, no matter what religion they have, they all say one common thing. They're drawn to a light. And the Bible calls Jesus the light of the world. And so, Transfiguration, you know, the disciples heard God in an audible voice. But now, in our time, we hear God through a still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We hear God through His Word. See, we don't have to have God speak to us audibly because He's already spoken. And the Holy Spirit leads us to His voice, which is the Bible. And He also speaks to us within our spirits that come alive when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus speaks to the young, He speaks to the old, He speaks to moms, He speaks to dads, speaks to husbands, speaks to wives. He speaks to professional people, He speaks to blue-collar people. He speaks to people in every nation, God is speaking. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that creation itself speaks of the existence of God. And the more you look into the dynamics of everything that exists, God speaks to us. And that's why the Bible says man will not have an excuse when we stand before God in judgment. But the problem that we have, even as believers, is that His voice is often drowned out by the noise of this world. His voice is often drowned out even by other voices that will speak contrary to His voice. See, God doesn't yell because He doesn't think He needs to. He's God. But other voices yell in a belligerent, in an angry, and God doesn't speak like that. He speaks with a still small voice. So if we have ears desiring to hear God, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to cause a penetration in us against all these other voices so that we can hear His voice, which is what we're talking about today. Even busyness, we live in a busy world, can cause us to miss the voice of God. And then, obviously, we all have a carnal nature. You know, the Bible says that we have a spirit nature, which is redeemed by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. And the Holy Spirit comes in you and wakes that spirit, dead in trespass and sin. It wakes it up. It causes it to come alive. And for the first time now, you can hear and see things the way God sees them. How many know what I'm talking about? When you're saved, it's like, whoa, right? You see things differently. That's different than religion. It's different than religion. You can be in church week after week and not hear the voice of God and not be sheep that obey and follow the voice. You'll know a tree by its fruit, right? And so the Lord says, sheep hear and they follow, they obey. And so we have to combat even our carnal nature, which is the part of us that is opposed to the spirit nature. See, my carnal nature sometimes wants to just sleep in when I know I need to get to work. My carnal nature wants to eat the whole chocolate cake. Where people say yay and amen. My carnal nature desires to do things that are contrary to the spirit nature, where I have to tap in and hear the still small voice of God, because the carnal nature can be very loud and overtake the spirit nature. So when I think of hearing God's voice, I can honestly say that the biggest mistakes that I've made in my life over the years of being on planet Earth have been times when I did not take time to listen for God's voice. I did not take time to even ask God, God, is this a decision that you would make? God, am I being led by your spirit or am I being led by my carnal nature? Or am I being led by pressure, outward pressure? Am I being led by pride, ego? Or is this you, Lord? And I can honestly say the mistakes I've made in my life are the result of not caring enough to stop and say, God, will you speak to me? Am I doing what's pleasing in your eyes? And when you first come to Christ, it seems like it's easier to hear his voice. I don't know if you feel this way. Because I think when we first come to Christ, we usually come on the back end of a tow truck and we're so desperate. We're desperate to hear his voice. I need God. God, I need you. You know, and it's like they say, there's no atheist in a foxhole, right? There's no atheist in a foxhole. We're desperate to hear God's voice. And it seems easier, or it seems as though, you know, when things are really bad, you need God, and you can hear him, and he tells you what to do. That's not true. God is always speaking to you. But sometimes we're not desperate enough and hungry enough to hear God. We're kind of busy doing life and hearing everything else that's happening, but we don't stop and say, Lord, but how about you, God? What are you saying to me? I remember, you know, asking God when I first came to the Lord, God, what do I need to do? I'm empty. I'm broken. I'm trying to fix myself. I can't fix myself. And I remember I shared the story before. You know, one of the first times I heard God loud and clear was I was in a nightclub playing in a rock band. And I was in this nightclub and playing. And all of a sudden I hear God say to me, you shouldn't be here. Well, I'm playing. And I start feeling convicted, and I start feeling the demonic spirits that were in the room. And I was hearing God saying, you are in Satan's den. You can't continue to do this, Ron. Then I heard him say, and I want you to go home, and I want you to break all your albums because your identity is a rock and roll star and music. And all this music that you listen to connect to all the sinfulness that you're involved in. When you hear these songs, it connects you emotionally, spiritually, to all these different things. That's how powerful music is. See, the devil always takes what God has created, worship, and he perverts it. And I'm hearing God, and I'm battling. You want me to break all my albums? Like, I had tons of albums. And I said, well, how about if I sell them? I'll just sell them. And I hear a conviction. No, you're not going to sell them because you're going to give that to somebody else. And they have... this stuff has lots of spirits on it. I'm not talking all kinds of music, but some of this heavy, bad, anti-Christ music, even the albums, even the album covers were anti-Christ. And so, well, maybe I'll sell them. No, you're not going to sell them. No, you're not going to give them away. You're going to break them because I have a new identity for you. I was starting to hear God's voice clearly. Ron, you need to get to church. Every time the doors are open, you need to be in church. Because you are being held back by the gods of this world, and your salvation is going to be the people of God, the men of God, those who will get around you and fight for your soul. That was God speaking to me. See, God will speak to you in different ways, and if you're his sheep, you will hear and you will follow. And I pray, God, make us your sheep. Amen? I renounce Satan. I renounce this world. I want to be your sheep, Jesus. I want to follow you. You know, people many times come up to me and they'll say all different things. You know, sometimes this happens quite often. People say, hey, no, Pastor Ron, we've been living together for a long time, and since we've been coming to church, we just don't feel right anymore. And I say, that's great news. You're hearing God's voice. That means the Holy Spirit is within you and speaking to you. This is good news. Yeah, and you know, I usually go partying on Friday night. I don't feel right about that anymore. I don't feel right about that. That's great news. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You are hearing God's voice. Certainly not the devil telling you to change, right? And then as you grow in Christ, as you become more mature in Christ, he starts refining you. He'll start talking to you deeper and saying, hey, listen, you know, you need to forgive that person. You need to forgive your dad, your mom. You need to forgive that person that did this and that to you. Because if you don't forgive, it's going to hold you back. See, God doesn't come and condemn you because he understands what you've been through. He understands what's happened. But he lives by his voice and his word and his principle, and I'll say, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. You know, I remember I was saved probably like maybe 15 years or older. And I was in church one night, and God spoke to me. And I knew it was God because I just felt him in my spirit, and I said, this is the word of God. The Bible says this. And he said, Ryan, you holding bitterness against your father. And I thought I'd forgiven. You know, he never did anything terrible to me, but it just felt as though, you know, he was absent in many ways, and I was holding kind of unforgiveness. And it was, God was speaking to me so loud that I had to deal with that in my life. And when I dealt with that, my relationship with my father changed dramatically. Because it no longer was my father's problem, it was my problem. And so God goes deeper and he starts fine-tuning you because he has a plan and purpose for your life. So he speaks to you, and we need to be people that hear and obey God's voice. Whatever he's telling you to do. But there's, you know, just past week, I shared this the first service. Just this past week, I woke up in the morning. And, you know, God doesn't always say big things to you. Sometimes he'll say little things. But if you don't listen to him in the little things, you'll never listen to him in the big things. But I woke up last week, and I said, let me go down, make some coffee, and read my Bible. And so I go downstairs, and I walk in the kitchen, and my wife had cooked the night before for hours because we had the youth leaders over, and we were going to just have a little barbecue for them, but they demanded Italian food. So they wanted Italian food. So Lori goes all out making homemade sauce, sausage, meatballs, pasta. And so it was late, so the kitchen was kind of just torn apart and all the pans and all that were everywhere. And so I walk in and I go to have my coffee, read my Bible, and I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say to me, Ron, before you read your Bible, why don't you do the Bible and clean the kitchen for your wife? Right? Now, right at that moment, saying, that couldn't be the devil saying that. And it certainly isn't me saying that. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. And it's interesting because in the quiet of the day, no one else is up, I'm up, how you can hear God much better because there's less noise. But God will speak to you in the little as well as the big. But 1 Samuel 3:7, a great story about Samuel as a boy before he became a great prophet. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And he kept hearing a voice calling him. And a third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, who was living with the priest in the house of the Lord, and said, he thought it was Eli. He says, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, because Samuel kept thinking it was Eli calling him. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I believe this should be a daily prayer that we have. "Speak, Lord. I'm not going to speak. I'm always speaking. I'm always asking you for things. But speak, Lord. What do you want to say to me?" But like Samuel, it takes time to learn to discern God's voice. It takes time to be able to decipher when God is speaking versus everything else. See, Samuel initially needed help from Eli, the priest. And this is why it's so important to go to church. This is why we need spiritual leaders, pastors, teachers, elders, spiritual elders, to help us to hear, learn how to hear and discern the voice of the Lord. People who know God, know His Word, know how God speaks. When you read the Bible, you're learning to hear the voice of God. How do you learn the voice of God? How do I know it's God? Start reading the Bible. Be deliberate about it. Listening to sermons, you're learning to hear the voice of God. You're hearing the Word of God. Asking God to speak to you, you start learning to hear the voice of God. Having spiritual leaders in your life, having a pastor, having spiritual leaders in your life. Samuel had Eli. If Eli wasn't there as his pastor, would he have missed God? Think about that. And then listening to the convictions and the promptings that God puts in you. You know, the Bible says the truth is written on your heart. Within us, we know instinctually, because God has placed truth within us, listening to that voice. Because as you learn to hear the voice of God, your life changes and always gets better. Jesus says, "I've come to give you abundant life, but you have to be my sheep, hear and obey." See, navigating life without hearing the voice of God is like you're in a rowboat in the middle of the ocean, in the darkness of the night. Good luck, because that's how life is. See, once Samuel was able to discern God's voice, once he learned to hear God's voice, once he learned that God actually speaks to us, he became one of the greatest prophets to ever live. And God used him mightily, even to the point where God says, "I want you to go and anoint the next king of Israel." Because Saul was going to end up passing away. "I want you to go anoint." So the Holy Spirit leads him to the house of a man, his name is Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons. So Samuel comes and he's looking for the man that God is going to anoint the next king of Israel. And because he can hear the voice of God, Jesse puts 7 of his sons in front of him, starting with the oldest. And Samuel goes from one to the other, 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 to the other. Is that 7? And he says, none of these are who God is appointing. he's hearing from God. He says, do you have another son? And Jesse's thinking, yeah, he's a shepherd. He's taking care of the sheep. He's with the sheep. What does Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. And here's David who comes, and Samuel says, this is the man. That is so important to be able to hear God's voice, because David was who God would use and his lineage to birth Jesus and bring salvation to the world. If Samuel was not able to hear the voice of God, salvation would have not come as God intended through David. That's why it's so important to learn. So Samuel learned. And you know, another point too I want to make as the music ministry come up is, isn't it interesting that David's own father did not recognize that God's hand was on his son? His own father. And it makes you think that sometimes the people that are even the closest to you, if they do not know God, if they do not know his word, if they do not know the voice of God, will give you bad counsel and advice. Because Jesse, the father of David, didn't even recognize that he was the man that God called him. When Peter was in the boat and Jesus called out to him, and Peter focuses on Jesus' voice, and he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water. And he experiences the impossible. But the minute Peter started focusing in on the waves and the wind, and he takes his ear and his eye off of Jesus and the voice of Jesus, he began to sink. That same thing happens to us if we're not attentive and desiring to hear God's voice and obey his voice. Hi, this is Ron Tremoli, pastor of Legacy Church. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. I hope it encouraged you and strengthened your faith. If you haven't already, please subscribe and review this podcast. It really helps us to reach more people with the hope that we find in Jesus. See you some Sunday in person or online at legacychurchri.com, where you can watch our full Sunday services and be blessed by the many helpful resources that we have for you, including parent tips. Well, God bless you mightily. Hope to see you next week.